Okay, so you know how we love to dig into the nitty-gritty of complex systems? Well, this time you guys sent us something pretty fascinating.
Oh, yeah. What's that?
It's all about high-performance control rooms.
Control rooms, like where they manage power grids and stuff?
Exactly, like air traffic control, power plants, all those critical systems.
Wow, those places must be intense.
They are, and this model we got lays out 6 steps to designing them for, well, maximum performance.
6 steps, huh? Sounds pretty thorough.
Oh, it is. They cover everything from staffing to the actual layout of the room.
I bet they think of stuff most people wouldn't even consider.
Right, and that's what we're going to unpack today, a full deep dive into all 6 steps of this model to give you a sense of what goes into making these control rooms run smoothly.
Cool. I'm ready to dive in.
So the first step is something called staffing studies.
Staffing studies. So figuring out how many people you need to run the place.
Yeah, but it's more than just like, oh, we need 10 people to work here.
Okay, so what makes it more complex than that?
Well, it has to do with the workload, the types of tasks the operators are doing.
Right. Some systems are way more complex than others.
Exactly. And then you factor in things like the consequences of errors.
Oh, yeah. In some control rooms, a mistake could be disastrous.
Exactly. So they have to figure out the right balance of staff to avoid overload and burnout.
That makes sense. You don't want people making mistakes because they're exhausted.
Which brings us to step two, alarm management.
Ah, alarms, that classic control room image.
Yeah, but imagine a wall of screens flashing with alarms.
It'd be overwhelming. How do you know which ones to address first?
Well, that's the whole point of alarm management, making sure the system prioritizes them.
So, like, the most critical alarms are the most prominent.
Exactly. They also have to consolidate redundant alarms so you're not seeing 5 alarms for the same issue.
Makes sense. Cut down on the noise and confusion.
And then you have the actual design of the alarm displays themselves.
Oh, yeah. Gotta make sure those are clear and easy to understand.
Exactly, because every second counts in these situations.
Speaking of displays, step three is operator display design.
This is where it gets really cool. The source talks about using 4 tiers to enhance situational awareness.
4 tiers, like different levels of information.
Exactly. Imagine you're in a power grid control room.
Okay, I'm picturing those giant screens with maps and
Yeah,
graphs.
so the top tier might show the entire grid and its overall health.
Okay, I see like a bird's eye view of the whole system.
Then the next tier would focus on a specific region, allowing operators to zoom in.
Oh, interesting. So you can get more granular as needed.
Exactly. Then you could go down to a specific substation and finally to individual transformers within that substation.
Wow. So it's like a hierarchy of information from the big picture to the tiny details.
And all of it's visually integrated. So if a critical alarm pops up at a substation,
It'll show up on the top tier as well, so you don't miss it.
exactly. It's all about making sure the operators have the information they need right when they need it.
This is fascinating, but I bet the physical setup is important
Oh,
too.
absolutely. Step 4 is screen ergonomics.
Screen ergonomics, what does that mean?
It means making sure the screens are the right size and the right position with good lighting.
Oh, right, because if a screen's too far away or at a weird angle, you might miss something important.
Exactly. And they also have to consider things like glare and contrast to reduce eye fatigue.
I haven't really thought about that, but it makes sense.
Yeah, even the type of screen technology they use can have an impact.
So it's not just about having the latest and greatest screens, it's about making sure they're actually usable.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And then we move on to step 5, console design.
Console design. So, like, where the operators sit and interact with the
Right,
systems.
and this is all about ergonomics too.
Oh, yeah. Gotta make sure those chairs are comfy.
Well, comfortable but also adjustable so operators can maintain good posture.
Makes sense. Sitting for hours can take a toll on your back.
And then there's the placement of keyboards, mice, even things like cup holders.
Cup holders! Really an
Seriously, you
issue?
don't want someone spilling their coffee all over the controls.
True, but it's amazing how much detail goes into this.
Oh, yeah, and it's all about minimizing distractions and maximizing operator comfort and focus.
So they can make the best decisions possible in high-pressure situations.
Exactly. And finally, we arrive at step 6, control room design.
So this is where it all comes together, the big picture.
Exactly. Everything we've talked about so far feeds into this.
So it's about the layout of the entire room, right?
The placement of consoles, the flow of information, the lighting, the acoustics.
Even the temperature and humidity.
Exactly. It all has to work together to create an environment that supports effective decision-making.
Wow, this model really emphasizes how much thought goes into these control rooms.
It's not just about throwing some screens and chairs in a room.
Right, it's about understanding the human element and designing around that.
And making sure these critical systems are operated as safely and efficiently as possible.
So, what's the big takeaway here for our listeners?
Well, I think the main takeaway is that High-performance control rooms are about way more than just technology.
It's about the people, the operators, who are responsible for keeping everything running smoothly.
And designing a control room that supports them both physically and mentally is crucial for success.
That's a great point. But it makes me wonder about the rise of virtual control rooms.
Oh, yeah. What happens when these systems are managed remotely?
Do all these same principles still apply?
That's a great question and one that I think deserves further exploration.
Definitely something to ponder as technology continues to evolve.
Absolutely. Well, folks, that's our deep dive into high-performance control rooms.
Thanks for joining us on this fascinating journey.
As always, we encourage you to keep thinking critically and exploring these complex systems that shape our world.
Until next time, keep those minds engaged.
And those control rooms humming.
Right on.